today on Compassion Radio.
Well, first, if we say God's word says if I do X, he'll do Y, you know, God's a little bigger than that. He created it all.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And that reduces God, where you throw in your coins and you pull the thing, you're going to get your three lemons and your reward. He's got something much better to give.
Yes, God is not a one-armed bandit, for sure.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Radio Journal of God's People in Action, advancing God's kingdom where it looks unlikely to succeed. As we've seen over the years, that's precisely where God does his best work. From time to time, we drop in on the rapidly evolving story of Trans World Radio and how they're responding to the massive challenges of keeping the word in the ears and in the hearts of people in hundreds of countries. The past 2 years especially have been one fire after another, and God is using them to bring real hope to millions literally under fire. Daniel Plett and I had a lengthy conversation over Christmas, and for the next few days, I'll broadcast the highlights right here. Thanks for tuning our way today.
On Compassion Radio, we have back a good friend and eyes on the prize, so to speak, Daniel Plett from Trans World Radio in Bratislava, Slovakia. He is the nexus of a huge amount of communications coming from the evangelical church to a world that is still truly desperate to hear the message and to find hope when there's a lot of war, a lot of turmoil happening across the regions of the world where they serve. And that's pretty much everywhere. Daniel, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Well, thank you. It's nice to feel welcome.
Yeah, I hope so. You have been an incredible resource for us over the years. You've showed us what's possible through Christian broadcasting in the 21st century, and you've even documented the changes, the massive shifts in technology that have allowed you to go new places, but I've also kind of timed out things that were very familiar to people that work in broadcasting. You have truly transformed everything you do technically about delivering programming across the world. I want you to get us updated on the state of the body of Christ around the world that you serve, but also what's the future for communications for Christians like you that are helping get the message out? And what is the message that people need? Take it on from there, buddy. I want you to have a kind of free-ranging conversation. Tell me the story that God's put on your heart today.
Well, there are a couple of things. I don't think the message has ever really changed. God loves us. He wants to give us hope, and he wants to have that relationship new. Kind of TWR's motto is speaking hope to the world. And I don't think there's anybody that can do without hope. Well-known preacher Chuck Swindoll used to say, you can never go wrong with encouragement. And God's that way. He gives hope for the future, for reconciliation, a hope in heaven because the sins have been forgiven. But it doesn't mean that we just hold on, you know, gritting our teeth here on earth.
Amen to that. And that hope in action is something I'm definitely interested in finding out more about.
Well, and sometimes I'm going to go so far as say the situation may be hopeless, but we have hope because we're next to him.
Fair enough. This is the season of Advent, and this is where God with us, the Emmanuel, becomes real if we allow it to draw close. I think the word itself, the music, and all the things about the season help us to refocus, to recalibrate, as I've said on the program before. And I think there's a lot of recalibration that needs to be done within the body of Christ to remember what it means for God's immanence, his presence, his right-here-ness, to be perceived. And so we try to reach out to him, but we got to trust too. I think it's part of the hope you're talking about, that God himself will hear that and will initiate that communication, that love, that hug that we need right here and right now. How has God's hug been coming to you this year?
I don't know how I'd go a day without it because I need it. My faith is small enough. I have to pray in all the time. God's hope shows itself in many ways. And I'd say maybe in the last 6 months in our family, if I could put it that way, one is just re-listening to a set of podcasts from somebody my wife listens to, and it says, we try to work for God's favor instead of working from his favor. There's no higher position than a child of the king. There's nothing else we really, really need. A lot of things I kind of want really badly. And then I know from my son, it was a long time thing, you know, how do you feel God's presence? And I know that too, because I'm probably more an engineer mindset. The touchy-feely isn't always there, but God's word is enough. But still, it was really struggle for him. And in a very real time this spring, talking to God, he says, okay, God, I can trust you with my tomorrows.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing because it's easy to say we want to trust God for heaven, but it's a little harder with the things that happen today and tomorrow. And that can be very mundane things like getting the car fixed or going to a blood draw and wondering what's going to show up. It can be so extreme as a war and the families being imprisoned. We need his presence.
When you and I talked back in 2017 and then years following about the kind of suffering that your family personally had experienced while doing the things that God had called you to do, there was no escaping some of the things that God at the time seemed to have allowed your family to experience. You lost your first wife to cancer when your children were fairly young. And your faith was stellar to me, not because it was pristine or that you put on a good show for it, but because you were, as you put it, for the first time, able to be vulnerable and honest in every way. There was no corner of your life that was left hidden. God had bared it all, and there was no point in trying to hold back anymore. You had to live a raw life in order to win your children to the love that they needed right then, and know that they hadn't lost their dad, and you hadn't lost them through that tragedy. And in the past 2 or 3 years, some real miracles have happened, and you are now remarried to a lovely lady who, in providential terms, had vision of what God had provided for her later in life. And same for you. There were miracles that were going on in your interpersonal relationship that you told us about, which I think it's great for us to hear that because it confirms again that God is imminent. He's right there and right involved with things in ways that we had no clue he was involved with. And you told us a little bit about that story. I know we can't get into too much of that today, but I just want to reiterate that we celebrate that with you. God has taken care of you at the deepest level, and I'm so glad for that. The other thing that I do want to make sure we communicate to our listeners today is that we were not trying to create a calculus where we could explain the kind of suffering your family went through because it yielded something else in the kingdom later. There were many things that God used your suffering and your testimony of that to open doors for, but I don't believe that it's ever right for us to say that's why God allowed the suffering in your life. I do celebrate that God used you in a tenderness and a kind of a pastoral role even within your organization to care for people who are really, truly suffering after the years of your suffering. But again, that does not mean that God goes out of his way to hurt us in order to help somebody else. And I think some people think there has to be some kind of transactional thing happening, that God makes good of the bad things that he lets happen to us. I think that's way too reductionist. And I'm just, again, proud of you for navigating those waters. And as you said before to me, dealing with all the stupid questions that come at you from people who seem to mean well, but ought to know better. So walk me through that. How has it been different in the past few years, or is it different?
Well, first of all, I say, if we say God's word says, if I do X, he'll do Y, you know, God's a little bigger than that. He created it all.
Yeah, I think so.
And that reduces God. Where you throw in your coins and you pull the thing, you're going to get your three lemons and your reward. God isn't that way. He's got something much better to give.
Yes. God is not a one-armed bandit, for sure.
I don't even know. Biblically, we can't say the biggest picture of suffering was Job. We never see in the book that he knows why, that he saw the picture. But that's used across the universe as we know it to tell people of God's grace and mercy in the middle of suffering. It's more about the faithfulness and struggling for the relationship with God. Somebody put it to me this way about 2-3 years ago. It's like Jacob in the Old Testament. He was struggling with God for the blessing. He wasn't struggling against God. And Job was the same way.
Yeah.
I don't know why these things happen. There's so much evil. We don't know what the results are. And to say everything is a happy ending is really cruel to the people that are in the middle of it. But having God who loves me and listens to me is amazing. And you really can't pass that up. You really can't beat that.
Yeah, because it seems like that's just the beginning of a conversation you just sense in your soul is going to blossom throughout your life and go exponential in the life to come. You have great hope that this seed of relationship and tenderness that you're getting from God is not something that will ever die or pass away.
I don't know. In some senses, I hope not, because I think the miracle really is in the relationship. He came to the garden to look for Adam and Eve, and he made them the sacrifice to cover their sins.
Yeah.
And at Christmas, he came as the most incredibly helpless baby, but he never lost his kingship. Mm-hmm. He gave up all his rights, but not his kingship. And that's right. Amazing. And he did it for you and me. So I hope I never get rid of that. However, for a few hours, I may scream and kick and say, I don't like it.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you've had plenty of people around you that have been kicking and screaming against the goads, so to speak. You have been a great comforter and encourager, and you've been brave, too, about the things you've done in helping get the word out.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and jump off the personal story right now, but go to the thing that brought us together for the first discussion last year. You did some brave things in Ukraine that might have cost the lives of some of your people that were on the ground there. But God honored that by not taking their lives, but also by bringing the kingdom forward and bringing deep encouragement and courage, re-encouraging people, putting courage into people that needed it badly. And you've also reached out in new ways to Russian speakers across the entire Russian Empire in ways that we don't hear much about. I'm not sure how much you can express publicly about the miracle stories you've been hearing about how they've been responding to the gospel, but tell us what you can.
First of all, I don't do any of this. I just provide the tools for what they do to be heard. I'm the infrastructure person.
Understood.
But I can't tell our Ukrainian partner what to do. Their coordinator can't tell the people. You have to keep making programs and keep making audio when bombs are falling on your head. They choose to. One of the first things that happened was our Ukrainian director, even though he was about 60, was drafted to dig trenches. And you can kick and scream. And I'm sure he did a little bit, but he got there right away and looked around and said, these guys, if anybody needs Jesus, it's the other guys who are digging the trenches with me.
Yep.
And it changed his way of looking at how they do programming. And a lot of our people are no longer going to the studios because of the travel costs or maybe power outages. You do them when you can. You try to do it in a, hang up blankets and get out a computer and make your kitchen or living room into a pseudo studio to make programs. But they're a lot closer to the people. They are no longer taking programs from outside the country that are adapted.
Okay.
They're doing them directly.
Good.
And in a very unique way, our audience has doubled.
Yeah, there you go.
Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Please take a moment today to consider how you might help us to accomplish our unique media ministry and mission. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478.
Our mailing address is P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. Again, that's Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877.
And now, back to the broadcast.
They're a lot closer to the people. They are no longer taking programs from outside the country that are adapted.
Okay.
They're doing them directly.
Good.
And in a very unique way, our audience has doubled.
Yeah, there you go.
And the doubling has been almost exclusively non-Christians.
Yeah. But non-Christians defined as people who are not church or haven't made a public profession of faith that we're aware of.
Mm-hmm.
But they are people that are seeking, they are hearing, and they're responding, and they're actually dialoguing with you. Their relationship has begun.
Yes. And if you look historically in the countries, how you say belief in God was not strongly encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of them really were non-believers in every way. But they have come to see that God offers hope. So a lot of our programs are people going to different cities on a weekend and just on the street talking to people. They also talk some about who they are in radio, what they believe, what they do. But people are thrilled to hear it because they're right with them in the cities where the war is going on.
Yes.
So they're facing the same dangers, the same food lines, the same gas lines, the same air raid signals as everybody else. And they're with them there speaking and listening.
Yes.
So a lot of these meetings on the street have opened doors to speak. And so those are being used equally almost on radio ministry and online podcast streaming. And like I said, the audience has doubled because of that. But a lot of it is just, what are you living through now? Tell me about your situation. And God's word is very easy to apply in any situation because he lives in us. And so the people who are doing the interviewing are living through exactly the same things.
Yeah. The very point of John 1:1, the thing that kind of anchors our whole introduction to Advent and into the birth of Jesus, is God became flesh and dwelt among us. He's now dwelling in his children. And as they go out to be with others, now God is with them. So you're describing exactly what John 1:1 is describing for all believers through all time. God came to be with us. And there is an Emmanuel that happens when we are willing to go just to be with people, not to preach, not to build, not to create some kind of kingdom out there of our own, or to do a traditional mission work, but to be missional in everything and being willing to be present. I do believe that God does miracles when we are saying yes to him in our hearts already. And your people are obviously testament to that. They're willing to go get in the bread lines with everybody else. One, because they don't want to shy away from that association with their brothers and sisters in their country. But also because they sense that God says, go be there with them. And you said the fruit of that has been a doubling of your audience. What other kind of fruit are you seeing?
It's also producing a fruit in the heart of those who are involved in ministry. And I expect that that's what I would see.
Yeah.
As they listen to people, as they see the needs, it's creating more programming.
Mm-hmm.
It's creating them looking for new outlets. One of the new old outlets happened that just a couple weeks after the war began, a year and a half, almost a year and three quarters ago, they started telling us, could you start broadcasting on shortwave again?
Mm.
We hadn't broadcast on shortwave in probably 6 to 8 years there. But they said, could you please broadcast on shortwave? Nobody trusts our own media. They want to hear something from outside.
Yeah.
So we started broadcasting on shortwave again for about a year. And then once they were able to get some other options lined up and media outlets happening, we stopped it again. But the bottom line is, how can we be in the right place for people to listen? And at that time, it included shortwave. Right now, it includes AM radio. We're covering huge parts of the Ukraine and significant parts, especially of the European part of Russia, with AM signal that's strong and people are listening. You know, every country, every people is different, but it's easier to catch fish if you go where the fish are.
It does help, yes. So the signals out there and the technologies, in your case, are going cyclically. You're actually, as you would say, going backwards. In America, as you probably know, they're having a huge battle about whether or not to even keep AM radio as part of a public access, and that most technology firms want to get that bandwidth back for other purposes. So they want to just kill off AM radio as we've ever known it in the States. They may or may not do it.
On the other hand, we use about every kind of internet technology that's available. We use them both.
Yeah.
Because what do people listen to? How can you reach them? That doesn't change the method. It might change a bit how you produce the message, how you present the message, but it doesn't change the message.
Yeah. And the message, when you say it doesn't change, that does not mean that the message is stale. It means that the core value, the power of it, and the presence of God in it does not change. But the story keeps rolling along. If there had been more years of Jesus walking the earth, I bet there would have been more gospels. It would have been longer gospels. But he gave us a certain window into his earthly presence that was recorded faithfully by those who were with him. And then, of course, during the apostolic era, we have the epistles and the letters that help us understand what that generation went through. In some ways, Daniel, I think the 21st century, what you are recording, what you are broadcasting, is an archive of gospel life in the 21st century. And I think it's going to be looked back on and studied by our children and our children's children in the faith. They're going to say, what was God doing in the 21st century? We got to understand it better. And they'll have a much better perspective on it than we do, walking around almost blind as we feel like we are. So tell me some more stories. What else is happening out there on the front lines of faith for you?
I'm going to come back to what you said about Jesus. If he'd stayed longer, the gospels would have been longer too. But he said, no, I'm going to leave because you're going to do bigger and better things, right?
Yeah.
And can you do bigger and better things than God himself? Yes, because he lives in all of us. And it's been found out in much of missiology that sometimes there is also a time to leave.
Yes.
So the church can grow. And I don't know, right now in the Ukraine, they've decided that they will do all their own programming.
Mm-hmm. So in that regard, you have had to leave your fathership role with the production and the technical aspects of it. You are actually trusting God to work through the people you have trained up and raised up to do this.
Yes, and maybe that's just for a certain time, because right now the emphasis of program has changed. How do we live in God's presence now? How do we live in this time of difficulty? Historically, there would be a larger percentage of that that was building the foundation, the roots, and the depth of Bible teaching. And that may well be needed again. But right now, it's focused on this time. And Jesus had 3 years, and he changed his focus very sharply, very focused on during those 3 years. So I don't know. I certainly hope they don't have 3 years to put up with that war.
Well, me, I'm into that. If you don't want to be shifting directions here, so the CWR is present and beaming programming all over the world, in like waves washing up on a shore, sometimes it is pushed stronger one direction than the other by the way the Spirit itself is blowing. What's happening now in reaching people in the Holy Land, in Palestine, in Israel, and the countries around that?
In the Arabic-speaking countries, we have been broadcasting significantly on radio and internet. and we still do.
Okay.
It is increasing, including outlets in the territories where the war is going on right now.
Okay.
Also, significant ones from outside. The internet ministry is still increasing greatly.
Good.
So we have significant work in Arabic, multiple dialects, if you want to say. The biggest part would be in classical Arabic because people read the Quran. Mm-hmm. Probably the second would be in Egyptian because of that's right. the Hollywood language
right.
for Arabic. But also as much as possible when the antennas are facing certain countries in their own dialects. Mm-hmm. So that is very important. We haven't had an actual presence in Israel for about 6 years. That's actively being pursued. Some can be said, some can't. But there are people that have lived there and worked there that are developing a future role for the gospel in Israel. And that almost always will include a significant amount of Russian programming. Right now, the Israeli ministry is on the ground.
Okay.
Right now, the beginnings of it is in social work and helping people in some of the most difficultly attacked areas in a real physical way.
Tell me how that is physical. How do you actually tangibly assist those families who have lost family members because of Hamas violence?
Some is by being there available for spiritual help. A lot of it has been helping provide for schools and hospitals. Hmm. And a couple cases of helping people leave that needed to.
And I imagine because of the crushing results emotionally, physically, and everything else, people would have lost hope completely if they've lost their homes and lost their families. I suppose that evacuating them to other countries, perhaps, that have the possibility of regrounding them in other families or communities would be essential. So you're thinking internationally about the way you can help meet the needs of affected Israelis.
But it's always better to work with people that are there if possible. So we're trying to follow their lead with the experience that we have.
Very good. And for those who are stuck in the war zone inside Gaza or the West Bank, when you're reaching out to them in Arabic to bring the gospel there, is it the same kind of thrust that the Ukrainians are feeling about bringing God to them in the middle of their suffering? Or what are they saying they need to hear?
Because that's in a language I don't understand as much and I don't deal with as much, I honestly don't know. But I know we have adapted several series of programs for people in disaster areas, for earthquake areas, for war areas, and for dealing with trauma. We have series that we have done in various regions of the world that they can never be exactly the same, but they can be adapted and modified and used for those areas as well.
Very good.
There's more good news coming from the work of Trans World Radio coming up on tomorrow's program. I hope you'll tune in then.
Could do whatever we want. Did you shed your blood so we could abuse your grace for us? Is our liberty meant to be only for ourselves? You gave it all. How can we thank you, God? If we have only one life to live, what are we living for? If we have only one glory to the Lord. Let us fall down on our knees. There is so much more in store. Let's fight off the darkness and rise up. What are we living for? If we are hungry, let us be hungry to reach the lost. If we want change, then let change start in us. Let's take your mercy to the hurting. Bring captives to the cross while we're still alive. Spirit of God, revive. If we have only one life to live, what are we living for? If we have only one death to give, let's give glory to the Lord. Let us fall down on our knees. There is so much more in store. Let's fight out the darkness.
Compassion Radio is still the radio voice of the global church, and that's completely due to the Lord's provision through you. Give online today at CompassionRadio.com or call us at 1-800-868-2478
or write us P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California 92877.